This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org.
The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, July 21st, 2021. The Memorial of St. Lawrence of Brindisi by Father William Doc Holliday.
We preach Jesus Christ as Lord. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those words from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the first seven verses. Minus a few. We'll talk about that. But what we have here is St. Paul speaking, basically giving us a model of his preaching, which if the Holy Spirit gives us a model of St. Paul's preaching, should be a model for us to preach also. It is a model of our proclamation of our Lord Jesus Christ. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord. In our day and age, what does that mean? I preach Jesus Christ. Is that the Jesus Christ who basically just sits up in heaven and waits for you to ask him for things and gives them to you? Jesus who is just completely gracious and merciful? Or is it Jesus Christ, the one who died for our sins? Is it the Jesus Christ who died for our sins because he confronted and divided those who heard him? Is that the Jesus of whom Paul speaks? I would submit to you it is the latter. It is Jesus Christ, the real one, not the one that so many have made up in their own minds. St. Paul does not hesitate to preach this Jesus Christ, because when we talk about Jesus Christ as he has revealed himself, he took to go on the coattails of Sunday's homily, he is the good shepherd. He is where we are fed, particularly by his word of self-revelation. And when we preach him, we should be like St. Paul and not lose heart, no matter what we may be confronted with in this world. One of his first verses, St. Paul says, we do not lose heart. What does he mean by that? It doesn't matter. Do we know what St. Paul went through? He gives us a list of what he went through. I was stoned. I was beaten with rods 3 times. I was shipwrecked. Gone and on and on. They're always seeking to kill St. Paul. I'm in danger from my countrymen. I'm in danger from foreigners. I'm in danger by robbers. He's always in danger. He put forth maximum effort. This has got to be wearisome after a little while. We do not lose heart, says this man who was beaten for the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. This man who was shipwrecked, trying to get to people to preach this Jesus Christ. The man who was constantly put in prison. The man who ultimately lost his head, literally, for the sake of Jesus Christ. We do not lose heart. Weirdness, difficulties, dangers should not overcome us when we are presenting Jesus Christ. Why? Because we should love him that much. He loved us that much. Should we not try to love him by presenting that much love? Because we don't have that much love to give back to him. So what do we do? Our best service? Yeah, we should love him as much as we possibly can with every shred of our being, but we should present that truth to others in hopes that he may share his love with them. And when we're doing this, we should not lose heart any way, shape, or form. St. Paul goes on, we have to prepare ourselves for this preparation. You know, you just can't wake up one morning, you know what, I want to be a good Catholic. I want to talk about, you know, Jesus to everybody. You've got to put yourself in a position where you are able to do that. That means to put yourself in a state of grace. State of grace. It sounds so monastery, sounds so convent, to be in a state of grace. It means keeping up on your sacraments. It means reading scripture. It means praying. This is what it means when we say we prepare ourselves. It is a matter of being clean to do it. St. Paul said, I don't lose heart that I've renounced the hidden things of shame. You talk about hidden things of shame, secret sins. Not just putting on a good show for everybody. That is going to Mass and wearing a chapel veil and, you know, listening to pipe organ music on Sunday. That's not it. I mean, that's part of it, but there's a reason for that form. It's the substance under the form. It's just like what we show outwardly, we should manifest inwardly. We should have ourselves in a state of grace. And when Paul says, I've renounced the hidden things of shame, secret sins, again, not just what you show to people, but what you do by yourself in your house, or what you don't do by yourself in your house. I go to Mass and everything, but I watch TV all night. I don't crack open the Bible. I don't say a rosary. I just watch American Ninja Warrior or whatever. And no, and that's not a sin to do that. I'm not saying that at all. But it doesn't help you with your hidden secret sins to watch American Ninja Warrior, Forged in Fire, all those things I like to watch. Okay, nobody, you know, it doesn't do you any good spiritually. So you gotta fix that somewhere else. Watch those shows, but say a rosary, you know, sometime during the day. Hey, Chapel of Divine Mercy. Make sure you're saying your Angelus, prayers in the morning, prayers in the evening. These kind of things, they expiate secret sins, and we have to be in a state of grace to properly proclaim this Jesus Christ as Lord. And I said I was going to deal with a couple of my favorite verses that are left out of the lectionary. One of them is one of my favorites. This is probably my favorite, is the one in Revelation that says, whoever adds to or removes anything from this book, let him be anathema, cursed to hell. And they took that verse out. Just that verse. Out of the lectionary. It's not in the lectionary. There are three verses that are left out of this seven verses. It would be so excruciating to have heard all seven verses, wouldn't it? Excruciating to hear the other three. Because what does one of the three say? That in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God. Unbelievers are on the way to perdition, is what it says. They are not in a state of grace. They're not okay, no matter how much they're, how righteous they are in seeking this or seeking that, whatever other pathway they may be on, it does not apply. Thus saith the Lord. But the one that I really like, part of the verse that is, that we preach this Jesus Christ as Lord, not deforming the word of God. How do you deform something? You change its form. So when you remove some verses out of a passage of scripture, you've deformed it. So it's almost as good as a revelation. You know, we don't deform the word of God. Somebody sat somewhere in an office, somewhere probably on another continent, and went, let's see, he said, don't deform the word of God, so let's deform it. That's what they did. Because what does that teach us? Is it when you're preaching this Jesus Christ, when you're preaching Jesus as Lord, because what are we preaching? We are preaching what he said in its entirety. The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Not deforming the word of God, St. Paul didn't care if it was a stumbling block to some. He didn't care if it was foolishness to others. Those are the words exactly that he uses. That the word of God, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, is a stumbling block to the Jews. It's foolishness to the Greeks. But for us, it's the power of salvation. This is why you don't deform the word of God. hypothetical picture. Jesus appears in your bedroom tonight before you go to sleep. It says, I want you to tell everybody, and he gives you like three sentences. And they're easy to remember because it's a revelation. It'll be burned into your soul, okay? And he said, I want you to tell these people these three things. And you get up next morning and say, well, you know, I know Jesus said that. But, you know, that second one, man, that's really probably going to bust some people's chops, really ruffle some feathers. So I'm going to leave that one out. Would you do that? No. You'd say everything that Jesus said because you should respect him and fear God. It's the beginning of wisdom. When you approach the truth of God like this, it's easy. And it's not that we want to be a stumbling block to others. It's not that we want to be foolishness to others. It's not that we want to be divisive. Then our Lord Jesus Christ said, I have not come to bring peace. I've come to bring a sword. And it wasn't, I want this to happen. It's going to happen. I am communicating my self-revelation to you. I am communicating my truth to you. This is who I am. I want you to tell others who I am. Yeah, that Great Commission thing, teaching them all that I commanded you, not some of it, not what doesn't offend other people, all that I have commanded you. If you love him, you'll do it. And if you don't, you'll deform his word. That's all there is to it. Saints throughout history have taken this very, very seriously. Many of them, it cost them their lives in the most horrible of ways. But they did it anyway. They did it anyway. Today is the memorial of St. Lawrence Brindisi. St. Lawrence Brindisi is one of the biggies. You know, not many people, you know, probably pass a five-question quiz on St. Lawrence Brindisi. But St. Lawrence Brindisi was such a man who took Jesus Christ's word very, very seriously. You see, in the Roman Breviary, this morning's readings, the instructions on St. Lawrence Brindisi, this kind of shows you like how things used to be and the way they are now. It starts out, says, the St. Lawrence Brindisi was possessed of unusual prudence, as well as the gift of counsel. He was given authority over the whole order and was often employed by popes for very important diplomatic missions. That sounds really neat, doesn't it? He was very prudent. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's a pious man. People look up to him, and he's going to very important diplomatic missions. You know what one of those diplomatic missions was? The reading instruction goes on. Indeed, it has been attributed chiefly to him that the Christian princes joined their forces against the invading Turkish troops. The Christian army engaged the Turkish forces in Hungary, and with Lawrence himself riding before the army, armed with a crucifix, and urging on the soldiers and generals, they won a remarkable victory. That second part should have no part in the Catholic Church. We shouldn't be hearing about some priest who sat in front of an army with a crucifix and urged on soldiers to kill other human beings. How horrible is that? It's not horrible. It's not horrible. There was a danger to Christian peoples and the worship of the true and living God. And St. Lawrence of Brindisi, because he loved Jesus, rode at the front of the army with a crucifix. He didn't have a sword. He didn't have a spear. And he's in front of the army, urging them on to do what they needed to do. And what did the Lord do in response? By their fruits, you will know them. They won a great victory. You know how you win a great military victory? By destroying and killing the enemy. St. Lawrence Brindisi. We're losing something here, folks. We need to get it back. All is not lost. And so they thought it was hopeless against the Turkish army, too. And what happened? Somebody with a crucifix standing in front of the army urged them on. These people out there need somebody to urge them on, holding a crucifix, the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we're called to do. And Father and Son and the Holy Ghost.